That just became our technical difficulties soundtrack as well. I'm Megan Tackett, and you are listening to Express Yourself. Happy Friday, everybody. And in the studio with me right now is Barbara Frotha and Raleigh Burley, already back from the Forge.
I biked really fast.
Oh, I'm impressed. It was a good interview, though. Barbara, you are relatively new to Carbondale, but you have jumped right into initiating a monthly series of ecstatic dances and potlucks at Coordination and Bonedale Ballet. The first official Bonedale boogie is tomorrow at 7, yes?
So actually, it's our third dance.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
So our first one was back in March, and am I closer?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah. So that one was really great and a lot of fun, and we had some really good conversations at the end of the potluck, and I got the sense that even though I was feeling really nervous about my ability to create something like this. I got the sense that the community really needed it, and so I was really happy to provide that.
Can I ask where you moved here from?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Santa Cruz, California, but I moved here from the Front Range.
Okay, because when I lived in Boulder, that was the first time I ever heard the term ecstatic dance, and
yeah.
I was so jealous because it sounded like everything I love, but I never, ever got an opportunity to experience it. So can you talk about your journey into the ecstatic dance world and made you feel empowered to bring it here?
So my first ecstatic dance experience was in Denver. It's called Rhythm Sanctuary out there, and it's a fantastic community. I mean, it's really not just a dance party. It's a family, you know, it's a tribe. And it's run by this wonderful woman named Ava, and I was such a newcomer coming into Denver from California. Didn't really know anybody. And my housemates told me, all right, you got to come to this dance. And they knew I loved to dance. So I got there, and it was the weirdest, coolest experience. Everybody was barefoot and dancing, and there was no judgment. It was just a completely safe and judgment-free space. And it always starts with an opening circle, much like with yoga. Your yoga instructor sets an intention. And so Ava did the same thing. She set the intention, lay down the ground rules of, all right, we're not going to talk while we dance. We're just going to dance and connect with our bodies. And you can use prayer hands to communicate if you don't really want to dance with somebody, and just having that freedom to be with yourself and kind of set those boundaries. And yeah, it was great. It was such an amazing experience. And I instantly found my family out there. And that was really wonderful to know I always had that support.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, what was the intention out of curiosity? Do you remember?
Oh, for that first dance?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I don't remember. It was a blur. I was just so mesmerized by the whole experience anyways. I think it was hard for me to really take in anything beyond the fact that I had found home, you know, like feeling unsure about this move, that I had left my whole family back in California and I didn't have really any support where I was going. And I knew I was going to be okay. If that makes sense. Like, I knew I always had a space to come to. And you could hear it in people's shares at the end of the circle. You know, you could hear people opening up and expressing a lot of the hardships in their lives, and that this was the one place that they really felt loved and accepted. And so I just knew, okay, I found my freaks,
yeah.
You know, and I felt like I could go there and always be okay. So, yeah.
I think it's really telling that it's a potluck, too. That just says so much that we're not just going to get together and move and dance and share that experience, but we're going to eat together, which I think in any human circle is such a bonding experience, especially
Definitely. If
it's food that each person's bringing personally, thinking about preparing perhaps to contribute to the group.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think this idea of the potluck is just one aspect of how this is not one person hosting the experience. The idea is we're all coming together and co-creating the space. And so there are a lot of other opportunities that people can get involved, whether it's doing the opening ceremony, or if it's, I know we had one person lead the food blessing. So always we'd like to do some kind of way to honor the food, whether it's through song, or prayer. Again, this is not like religiously affiliated, but just something from the heart, whatever it is you want to do. And other things we've had are people building the altar space. So you don't just have to dance. There's always going to be some space that you can just relax, stretch, and also a place where you can meditate, pray, just connect with yourself. And so people can build the altar. And so there's a lot of ways you can get involved. And I think it just shows that as a tribe, as a community, we can create so much. You know, mm-hmm. this doesn't have to fall on only one of us. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to ask, Raleigh, you've been to an ecstatic dance here in Carbondale. What was it like for you?
Yeah, so this one was organized a couple of winters ago at the launch pad, and it was really special. I think the sharing experience, I think the openness is really key to what this is. There's not judgment. It's a space where people can move in whatever funny way feels right at the moment and feel safe and secure in doing so. So it's kind of a unique thing to find. Often we are really conditioned by what's socially appropriate moment to moment. And of course, as you mentioned, people will kind of put their hands in prayer position to indicate, yes, you're having fun, but I don't really want to dance with you right now. Oh. You know, so that consent plays a big role. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it's sort of an experimental space to feel free to explore who you are, really, your expression.
Very true. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely love watching how everybody finds their own way into the dance. You know, I remember my first time, I didn't feel ready to dance. You know, I love to dance. So I actually just sat down and started to stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got into my body, and there wasn't that pressure of, oh, I have to dance. I never at once felt like, oh, I have to be doing something. You know, I just sat there and I was still in the beginning and just watched. And I encourage everybody right from the get-go, you know, don't feel like you have to dance. This is just a space to be with your body. And if that means you're doing capoeira, or if you're, you know, moving your arms or just moving your head around, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't have to look a certain way. If you want to watch how some people dance and try to pick up some new dance moves, I know my partner does that a lot. So it's fine, you know, it's really just there for you to feel good in your body and explore your body in that way, and do so in a way that you know that everyone's kind of cheering you on. Like, everyone wants you to just have a good time. So, yeah.
Now, before our technical difficulties, we were planning to lead into this segment with a preview of the music. You were telling us that it's an important aspect of this particular dance, the choice of music. Could you explain?
Yeah. So the music tends to vary, and we're always open to more DJs who want to volunteer. I mean, we're not making money off of this. We're just paying for the rental space. So if anyone wants to DJ and volunteer their time, we would love that. Even if you aren't super experienced and you just want to try something new, we want to support that growth in the community and that participation. So this set that we're going to play this time actually comes from a fantastic DJ by the name of Pumpkin. He's California based, and I had the opportunity of seeing him a few times out in California, and I've never seen so many smiles, like genuine smiles, on a dance floor as I do when he plays. And it always touched my heart, and it was a part of a lot of my really coming of age experiences. And he passed away a little bit ago in a car crash on his way to go participate in one of these festivals. And so I want to just use this as an opportunity to honor his memory and just continue to cultivate all that love and happiness that he brought to this world. And so he's been on my mind lately, so I wanted to honor him with that.
I bet he never thought that his legacy would permeate into Colorado.
Right?
Right. That's neat to think, the ripples that we leave behind, and how, you know, our stories and our energy can keep getting carried through those that we've touched. So I'm sure that that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Right. The ways in which our story continues to be written even after we're gone.
Mm. Well, like you said, the ripples, you know, we all have that ability to shake things up. And I think some of us are afraid of that ability. I know I definitely doubted my ability to do this. And I think it's just knowing that a lot of this is bigger than us, that I'm just serving a purpose that the community needs, and doesn't matter how it turns out. It's more that there are people who need it in any shape or form. They need a space to feel safe and to feel connected and supported. And I think that Pumpkin was a part of that. He helped create that space, and he was a part of a group, a musical group, and they always put together such beautiful spaces You know, I saw them at create a soundstage at Coachella, and it was a space, it was a festival that I couldn't connect to. Mm-hmm. I had a really hard time finding my people. But the moment I went to what they call the Woogie stage, you instantly felt a shift, like an energetic shift of just all these joyful people who were ready for real connection. You know, people were making eye contact with you and ready to like talk to you, and not just about small stuff, but really connecting. And that group just had that ability to cultivate that. And so, you know, I think they're right in line with that ecstatic dance and making ripples. And so, yeah, I'm happy to continue with that.
Now, you brought up an altar. Just curious and want to share with listeners, what's the purpose of that? If people want to participate in the aspect, what do they bring?
Yeah, so I guess altars might have like a religious connotation, but I think of it more in that spiritual sense of we're creating a little hub that people can find a way to ground themselves, to connect with what is their intention, you know, whether it's being present with loss or, you know, something wonderful that's happened in their lives, but just being present with it and potentially having that space to meditate. Typically what we'll do is create a couple pillows, some colored fabrics, and just different objects that have significant meaning for us. So I know some people have brought crystals and images of sacred geometry and a lot of different things. I mean, it doesn't have to look a certain way. We don't want to set this precedence that it has to be sacred geometry and Palo Santo and these things, but it's really just what is meaningful to you and helps you connect to something more than just the news and the weather, but something profound. And So one thing I tend to bring are oracle cards, not to be confused with tarot cards, but they're just cards that I guess are glorified fortune cookies, but I love them and they always have some beautiful message in them. Mm-hmm. And I like to bring that out so people can find a way to think about some, I guess, reflect on their life and current situations that they might be struggling with. And,
yeah. When people are sharing after the dance aspect of it, mm-hmm. do you find that people have a tendency to speak about their experiences with the altars and the objects, or is mm-hmm. that more of a vehicle for something a little bit more esoteric?
I'd say both. Yeah, mm-hmm. we definitely have folks that will find something in the altar, whether it was something they read or something that came to them. Sometimes what might come up in the share are just feelings of being alone, you know, feelings of lacking that connection or lacking that space to be honest about how they're feeling, mm-hmm. you know, not having the people that they feel like they can just open up, or even having that opportunity to come into a completely new space and just feeling accepted. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that is not the norm, unfortunately. I think sometimes we come into spaces and we're just not sure how we're being received and whether or not we can be our full selves without that judgment. And a lot of that first dance was what we heard again and again was, I can't believe I found this space and I've been needing it. And I've been needing that connection and I've been feeling alone. And so that was the biggest takeaway that I heard that first mm-hmm. dance. Gosh, I mean, I've heard so many things. I mean, some people just sing. Like some people will be like, you know, that dance inspired a song in me and I want to sing it. You know, So there's such variability in what people want to bring up, and it's just coming from that heart. And like I said, there's just a lot of magic and a lot of medicine in it. So
well, we're about out of time, Barbara, but want to make sure that we get the details to people so that they can find their way to this dance tomorrow.
Yeah. So the dance is tomorrow night. It's going to be 7 to 9. And typically what we do is we have people come in, check in. It's kind of a sliding scale donation. There is a Facebook page called I believe it's Ecstatic Dance Bonedale Boogie. And it's not a boogie. I keep getting asked what is a boogie. And it's I was just trying to have some fun with the alliteration of it, but it's an ecstatic dance. And so we ask that people bring water bottles so you can stay hydrated. Bring snacks if you can. Again, please don't not show up because you didn't have time to bring some snacks. And we're asking for finger foods. We're not going to have serving stuff. So don't bring anything crazy like a casserole. So cash. We don't accept card. I don't have a card machine. No, there's no square. So bring cash if you can. Unfortunately, our hosts are asking that we do not bring children at this time because there's some equipment there that they're worried about getting affected by the presence of young ones. And
where is it again?
It's at Coordination Studio or Bonedale Ballet, and that's right by Saw, or I think it's Gianetti Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so right over there by Heritage as well. Awesome. And yeah, there's a lot of parking on the street, and
it's a beautiful space. I love that studio.
It's a good one. Yeah, and then we just ask you to be barefoot or if you have non-street shoes, things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara.
Yeah.
Barbara Schrota with the Bonedale Boogie.
Yeah. Thanks so much for joining.
Yeah, definitely. It was a pleasure.